What's up, everyone? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week's guest is Craig Ballantyne, entrepreneur, author, business coach. In this episode, we discuss his book that actually changed my life called The Perfect Day Formula. So we go through the concepts and the exercises that he lays out in that book, as well as things like how to find your purpose, how to become a better leader, and how to achieve any goal that you have in life. Before we get started, if you've been a regular listener to this show for a while and you haven't done so already, please put this on pause, head to iTunes, leave me a quick review, hit the subscribe button. If you have a question that you want answered related to health and fitness, mindset, business, etc., please don't hesitate to call in. I absolutely love being able to connect with you guys and answer your questions, or having friends of mine that are experts help me answer your questions. So if you're interested, call into the hotline at 801-449-0503. That's 801-449-0503. Hope you enjoy the show. What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week's guest is Craig Ballantyne. Craig is the author of The Perfect Day Formula. Is Early to Rise a book, Craig?
Early to Rise is a website. It's a company that's been around since 2000, and I bought it in 2011 from one of my biggest mentors, a guy named Mark Ford. So it goes way back in the day.
Awesome. So CEO of the Early to Rise company, and the founder of, correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, but the first high-intensity exercise philosophy or training system in existence. Is that right?
Well, you'll get definitely, I won't get too far with CrossFit on that one, but here, yeah. Let me just tell you the story. So, you know, in 1999, I was a graduate student. I was reading that, T-Muscle magazine way back in the day when it was testosterone.net. And I'm like, you know what? I can write programs that are as good as the stuff that they were putting out. And so I started my own email newsletter in 1999. I didn't know what I was doing business-wise for several years, but I eventually figured it out. And I created my program, and I put it online in 2001, and it's called Turbulence Training. It's very, very simple. It's not CrossFit by any means. I didn't even know what CrossFit was until 2006. And so my program was simply, if you took bodybuilding training and athlete training, which is what I was doing at the time, and you put them in a blender, that's what turbulence training was to get started. And so I was helping busy men's health type readers lose fat, gain muscle at home with dumbbells and bodyweight exercises. And that's what it started. So it was, you know, that was one of the first kind of high intensity superset interval, no cardio programs to get popular in the early 2000s. And so that's where I stand on that. And everybody can have, their own judgment of it, and that's fine, but that's my history.
So it kind of came out, the idea came out of something you saw. There was kind of something missing, something that you wish existed. So you created it for yourself.
Yeah, pretty much, because I was a graduate student from 1998 to 2000, and I was studying interval training, and I was studying the hormonal response to resistance training as well. We actually did a study when I was a master's student on androstenedione, which was Mark McGuire was taking back in 1998 to hit all his home runs. You know, that was found in his locker room. He was taking plenty of other stuff, but we did a research study on that. So we were looking at the, you know, testosterone and estradiol response to training while taking that supplement. And I was seeing what guys were doing with supersets in my training programs for the studies. And then I was also doing a lot of interval training research, and I was training athletes in my spare time as a strength coach of our school up in Canada, which doesn't have a full-time strength program. And so I realized, oh my goodness, these guys are getting in game shape, you know, mid-season shape in 3 weeks with interval training. Cardio is such a waste of time. And then as a graduate student, I was in the lab for like 16 hours a day, and I no longer had 2 hours to work out. So I had to come up with something. And then I realized, hey, I'm going to put these supersets together of basic exercises. I'm going to do my interval training right after that. I'm in and out of the gym in 40 minutes. I can get back to the lab, and sit in there all day long, and I still won't miss my workouts. And then I realized I was just getting great results, and I really enjoyed it. And so that's how it started. And then when I graduated, I had all my friends emailing me at night saying, hey, I need a program. And after about 3 weeks of writing this almost the same program for about 15 different guys, I thought, I'll just write one program. I'll be a genius here. And I'll just write one program and give it to all the 15 guys instead of writing 15 programs and giving it to one individual guy. So that's how it started. And a lot of the influence was from Men's Health because I was on their, I was working on their forum. I was getting reader questions and it was all the same thing. I don't have any time. I only have a set of dumbbells. I work out in my basement. I don't have a gym membership. What can I do? And most guys were in despair. They thought they couldn't do anything. And I just showed them what they could do. And even back in 2001, I didn't know as many exercises as I do now. And it was still like just the basics. And even my first turbulence training programs are still some of my favorites because they're really what I would have done, what Arnold would have done, you know, because that's what works.
Right. I love it, man. And that's, you know, this audience is intimately aware or familiar with all of that stuff, obviously. As I was talking to you before we started, I came to know your name from your book, The Perfect Day Formula. A D walks in from a mastermind group one day and she's got this orange book. She's got this whole packet and she says, oh my God, we have to read this book. And we both read it. You know, it's a very short book. We read it in a couple days. And since then, that book has really changed both of our lives. And the concepts in there are so simple, but they're also elegant in the way that they're just very, very powerful. So I wonder if you could just start out by explaining what the basic concept behind the perfect day formula is, and we just take it from there.
Yeah, it's like turbulence training for your day. I mean, I think, you know, anybody who's listening here right now, they're kind of getting like, hey, there's a theme with this guy about saving time and getting results with the basics. And like you said, there's not a whole lot of revolutionary stuff in there. There's a few things that people will have never heard of or never thought of this way. So there's a little bit of different stuff in there, but it just takes my life's work of trying to figure out how can I get more done every day, still have time for family, still have time for fitness, still have time for, you know, reading and watching movies and traveling the world and doing all these cool things while still making an impact on the world. And so that's what I did over the last 10 years, Mike, since 2006, was I put together the perfect day formula. First I applied it to my life, then I applied it to my coaching clients' lives, and then I created the book, and then I created the perfect day formula kit, which is the orange box that you and Dee have. And so that is really showing high level, high performers how to get more out of their days and really take the clutter out of their heads, because as a person who's got a great business, you know there's so many opportunities you can chase. And anybody who's got a job and who wants to succeed in CrossFit, they're like, you know, I got limited time here. What should I be doing first thing in the morning? What should I be doing right after work? How can I really get ahead in life and live up to my peak potential? And that is what the Perfect Day Formula does. It asks the right questions in the right order to get the clutter out of your mind and give you complete clarity on where to get to in life and exactly how to get there.
So what exactly, how do you define the perfect day?
Okay, so good question. Perfect day is not, you know, when you're sitting around in a hammock drinking margaritas all day. That is my other book, The Margarita Day Formula, which is also really, it's also really important, but it's a lot shorter. Now, the perfect day is if you think back to the last time you had a perfect day, and it would start off where you got up on time, you had great energy. If you trained first thing in the morning, you know, you went to the CrossFit box, you did your workout, and you like maybe you hit a PR, and then you came home and you still got to work on time. And when you got to work, you got right into something that was really important. And, you know, even by noon, you had checked off most of your to-do list and you had a really good lunch and you had a great energy in the afternoon. And then by the end of the day, you were still able to get out of work on time. And you were able to sit there and go, oh my goodness, I accomplished so much today. I really moved ahead towards my legacy in life, both personally and professionally. And I still have time to get home on time for dinner with my boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is that you know, our listeners are looking to spend time with, or my spouse or my kids or whatever it is. And I can be present with them and not thinking about work. That is the perfect day to me, in my opinion. And that is the formula in the book that we help people use to achieve these days over and over and over again. Because when you have those perfect days, Mike, you have that perfect life and you make an impact on the world, you leave a legacy, and you just feel like you're fulfilled. That's what it's all about.
Man, if I could just be a testament to what you're saying, when I implement, you know, the entire process, including the mastering the morning, but especially scheduling out my free time, it's amazing how much how productive I am, how much I get done, and then also how much fun I'm having, how much recharge time I'm having. Because one of my biggest problems has been, you know, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, it's kind of like water filling any kind of container it finds, right? If without boundaries, I can fill up all of my time with very tedious work. So the simple concept of planning out my free time, what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, has been so, so effective. You put a lot of emphasis on waking up early and mastering the morning. What's the deal with that? Why is that so important?
Well, a little caveat first here. So I don't think you have to get up first thing in the morning, really early in the morning. You can be a night owl and succeed. I like to say it's not about the hour that you get up, Mike. It's about the what you do with the hours that you are up. And you just perfectly described that, you know, by planning out your free time. And so it's all about that planning mentality, being proactive. Because I like to say there's two types of people in life, people that are proactive, they're the successful ones, and people that are reactive, and they are the ones that struggle. And that doesn't matter if we're trying to apply that to relationships or to wealth building and to, you know, your career or to your training. You know, if you're just going in the gym without a plan, you know, you're going to suffer, you're not going to get the results, you'll probably get injured. I know I do my old man warm up before every workout, and if I don't do it and I just go in and start slinging around the weights, I'm going to tweak something because I'm just been beat up over the years with bad training. And so, well, or sport injuries back in the day. And so what we need to focus on here is planning our time. And if we want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, like I do, and write for an hour, by all means, you do that if it's the right thing for you. You don't have to join the 5 a.m. club. It's not right for most people. What you should do is just go and do something. I have this thing that's a little time journal that I give to all my clients, and everyone can download a free copy at craigvalentine.com/free-gift. There's a couple of sheets there, and one of them is a time journal. And you go through a time journal, Mike, and you identify what you're doing in 20-minute blocks over the course of the day. And if you do this once or twice, you'll get a really good idea of when you're most creative and productive, when you have the best energy for training, you know, when you suffer from going down and wasting time on the internet, when you have low energy, when you should be doing phone calls and catching up on stuff, and when you should be focusing on your number one priority. And most people will find that in the morning they have, you know, fewer distractions and more discipline. So that's why the morning works so well for us to move ahead on big projects, because the world is just set up for mornings. And, you know, most people, again, or some people are meant to be night owls. But the thing is, you need more discipline at night in order to take advantage of your night owl energy, because you have dinner with your girlfriend at 8 o'clock. And then the next thing you know, you hang out and you watch a movie or you watch Game of Thrones, and it's 11 o'clock. And now you have to go and write for an hour on your book, and she wants you to go to bed. I mean, you know, which, you know, I know which choice I would take. Mm-hmm. I would definitely be going to bed. But the thing is, you know that you have great energy at night, but you don't have the discipline to stick to it in most cases, even if you're a night owl.
Right.
So in the morning, we wake up, we have the energy, we have the clarity, the focus, fewer distractions, and that's why it's so powerful.
One of the biggest things for me as well is the confidence that I get from accomplishing so much in the first 2 or 3 hours of my day, right? I wake up at 5, and then by 8 o'clock, I've meditated, journaled, I've read, I've moved, I've done my most important task of the day. And then at that point, at 8 a.m., it's already a great day, right? If I accomplish nothing else, I've already been more productive than I was when I, you know, didn't plan anything out. So that, you know, absolutely. It's huge.
Yeah, and I like to say that it's a victory the world can't take away from you. So even, you know, no matter how crazy busy the world is or your day is going to get, you know, maybe you have a job where you're a manager and everyone's going to come in with all these crazy emergencies that you have to take care of. Well, listen, if you get up just 15 minutes early in the morning, so let's say you're getting up at 7 now, you get up at 6:45 a.m., go down to your kitchen table, pen and paper, no electronics, and you sit there and you work on your number one priority in life, whether it's a problem you need to overcome, like getting out of debt, or whether it's an opportunity, like taking advantage of one of your training programs and using it to excel at CrossFit. And you just, plan out your week, your training week, and your nutrition, and you do that every single day. Doesn't matter how crazy busy the rest of the day gets, you have that victory the world can't take away from you. And so at the end of the day, even if the day was crazy, you can put a smile on your face and say, you know what? I ruled the day today because I got up early and I dominated that and I own my life. That's what it's all about.
I love it, man. I do not consider myself a morning person at all. But now that I've really instilled this habit of waking up early and conquering my morning, I'm excited to go to sleep so that I can wake up early the next day, right? Because I'm excited for that morning routine. So I'm wondering, do you have any tips or tricks on how to, because people are very resistant to this piece about waking up earlier. Do you have any suggestions on how they can kind of push themselves to get over that hump?
Yeah, I mean, so what we really need to do is take a look at what our values pyramid. So we need to think about, okay, there's really four areas of life: health, wealth, social self, and our family. And so if we look down, we say, what are our real priorities in life? We're going to realize that, hey, listen, we want to be successful in our career. We want to be successful at training, and we want to build great relationships, in our family, whether we have a young family or whether we have an established family. And listen, we're going to have to make some sacrifices in order to do this. And that morning time is sacred for most people because, again, it's when you have fewer distractions. And so if you want to be the best dad in the world, you can't come home and be on your iPhone when you're playing catch with your son. Or playing, soccer with your son. I see this at the park all the time. It breaks my heart. A little kid kicking the ball to his dad. Dad's on the iPhone. Dad's not even looking at the kid, and he just kicks the ball back in the general direction. And it hurts because, my dad and I, we used to play catch all the time, and he gave me his. And, now kids don't have that. And so if you want to have that with your kids, you want to have, focused time with your girlfriend at night, or you want to have, the absolute most insane workout at night, then you have to sacrifice by getting up earlier in the morning so that you get all of your, you can have true freedom at night. So it's structure in the day, Mike. We're heavy on the structure in the day so that you have true freedom at night. And that's what it's all about. When you realize that, hey, yeah, I'm not staying up till midnight like I used to in college or, 2 a.m. or whatever. But listen, you can watch all your TV shows at any time of the day now. There's really no excuses in this day and age to have to stay up late. All the TV shows are available 24/7 on demand. So there's no excuse that way. You can watch any movie anytime, and you can really take control of your life and shift your schedule so that you're going to bed a little bit earlier, but you're still waking up and dominating the day.
You talk about the concept of non-negotiables. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So everybody needs to know what really, really matters in their life. And so for a young, maybe a young single guy's listening to this, like, I'm not married, I don't have kids, but what's really the biggest thing in your life? Well, maybe it's training. Okay. If training and accelerating at a CrossFit Games is your number one priority in life, then you will have no problem understanding the term non-negotiables. Non-negotiable is training. I have to train X number of days per week. I absolutely have to. I know that these events are going to be at the games I'm going to, or probably going to be at the games. So I know I have to have them in my training. I know that I have to have, three recovery sessions per week, whether it's massage, ART, having a foam rolling mobility session. I have to have this nutrition program. These are all non-negotiables if you want to excel in the CrossFit Games. And therefore, we can just use that same mentality for, okay, I'm training hard, and but I really want to build up a nest egg to buy that house for my fiance. And so for me, having 2 hours extra on a Thursday morning to practice my sales scripts before I go on the road and do my sales calls, that is a non-negotiable in my life because I must get better at my selling in order to make more money, because that is my number one priority in life. And so your non-negotiables are all based around what is most important to you in life. Someone who is listening who is a strong Christian, they're going to say, listen, 15 minutes of Bible study every single day is a non-negotiable in my life. And so everyone should have those. You can't have too many of them, of course. Otherwise, you're like this stupid article I read on the internet about the 14 things that successful people do before breakfast. And it takes like 5 hours to do all these things. Right. Like successful people don't do 14 things before breakfast. They focus on top priorities and get those done. And that's what non-negotiables are. Top priorities that really matter to you. It can be in any area of your life. It's going to fluctuate through the seasons of life that you go through. You know, you're going to be in health sometimes. You're going to be in wealth sometimes. You're going to be in family sometimes. And it's just knowing, here's how much I can take on my plate and say they're non-negotiable and focus on those.
So say someone, they assert that it's a non-negotiable that they stick to their flexible dieting plan or their diet plan that they're on. And they come to you and they say, Craig, you know, this is a non-negotiable to me. It's so important for me to be in the best shape of my life. You know, I'm training for the games or I just want to look as good as I can. But I keep messing up. What ways can they stick to that plan? Stick to their non-negotiables.
Great question. And so I want people to bear with me as I use this example, but there's something that I learned from vegetarians and vegans that is something that can help us here. Now, let's say two people go to a barbecue and one of them is a vegetarian and one of them is just a normal men's health type reader, and they both want to lose 10 pounds. And they go to this barbecue or cookout or whatever you Americanos call it. We call it a barbecue up here in Canada. Maybe a grill out or a cookout or whatever, uh-huh.
We call it a crawfish boil where I come from.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So you go to this thing and the host comes over and he shoves, giant cheeseburgers in your face. And he says, listen, you got to eat one of these cheeseburgers. Well, the person who's just there and going to rely on willpower alone, they're going to say, no, not right now. And then 30 minutes later, they're going to give in. But that vegetarian, because they have a rule that says, I do not eat meat under any circumstances, is going to be able to say no to the cheeseburger. And they're going to come out of that situation with, without using a lot of discipline and willpower. And they're going to come out of that situation ahead. So now we go back to your question about, okay, let's say somebody wants to follow, a paleo diet, but they keep on getting peer pressured into birthday cakes and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, now they just establish it as a rule. Here's a rule, a non-negotiable in my life. I'm going to get accountability for this. And nobody likes to be a hypocrite. So if you say to the world, you say, hey, I follow this paleo diet and I'm not, going to stray from it because it serves my purpose of getting in great shape and looking the best I possibly can. And you tell the world, you tell your friends, you tell all the people on Facebook, if they see you eating a piece of cake or a donut, they're going to call you up and they're going to say, hey, you're a hypocrite. You said you're doing X, but you want to do X, but you're doing Y. And nobody likes a hypocrite. To be found out as a hypocrite is one of the most demeaning, insulting, lowest points of a person's life possible, because everybody looks at a hypocrite and says, that person's just a liar. They're going to tell me one thing and they're going to do the other. And we don't want to be seen that way. So if you make your rule, you set your rule for your non-negotiable, and then you make it public and you get accountability from somebody who you know will hold you to a high bar in life, then boom, that is going to help you stick to whatever plan you make, whether it is following that nutrition program or whether it's setting aside $200 a week from your paycheck or whatever it is. You're going to set that bar for yourself and you're going to live up to your standards because you know you don't want to let people down.
One thing that I've implemented, well, I haven't necessarily implemented it yet, but if I don't wake up at 5 a.m. on a weekday, then I have to donate $100 to the rainforest. This is something that I got from a buddy of mine. So it's, in line with what you're saying. And now it's not, my first idea was to give $100 to an organization. I won't say which organization, but one that I don't believe in at all. And I just felt like that would be contributing to the detriment of the world. So, I believe in saving the rainforest. So anytime I don't wake up that early, I have to donate, and $100 is enough where I'm going to remember, and it's going to be enough to push me out of bed. And it's worked really well so far.
That's brilliant. And I actually have a very similar one. So I gave up swearing several years ago. And so whenever I swear now, I have to donate $100. And so very much similar to you, $100 is painful enough where you're like, even if you found $100 on the street, you wouldn't want to have to give it away.
No way.
So that's a really, really, really great example. And so, there needs to be consequences for you falling off your plan. And when there's real consequences, like in CrossFit Games, there's obviously real consequences. You lose, you know, you're not seen as doing your best, or if you don't train properly, you can get hurt. And so we need to make the same consequences in our lives in the other areas, whether it's getting out of bed at a certain time or whether it is, holding ourselves to a higher standard in our behaviors. That's really important. So it was really, really great point, Mike.
So you in Early to Rise, I know that, or it might be the Perfect Day formula. One of the things that you offer is coaching for entrepreneurs. And I know that one of the most important things for entrepreneurs and really in any high performer in general is to find and, put some clarity around your purpose, your why. How do you help people find their purpose?
Great question. It is really important. And it's so weird because when I started speaking several years ago, a lot of people come up to me after and say, Craig, I love what you're saying, but I don't know what really matters to me. And that kind of threw me off because, it's something that I've thought a lot about, what really matters to me. And so at first I didn't know what to say, but now I've thought about it for many, many years. And it comes down to identifying what season of life you're in. Are you in a season of family building? Are you in a season of health or, training? We talked about that a lot today. Are you in a season of wealth building, like a young guy who, just got a fiance, knows that he's going to, get married soon and need to buy a house and then have kids? He's probably in a season of wealth building. He's like, oh man, I got to build up some cash here. Or are you in a season of personal enrichment? And what that is really giving back to the community, which is something that my mother's in right now at the age of 75. Her number one priority is not about work, obviously. It's, and her health is good. It's about making sure that she's giving back in her charitable organizations. And so she gets up and focuses on that. So once you've identified which season of life you're in, now it's very easy for us to identify, okay, well, what are your major goals in this season of life? Where do you want to be in 3 years from now? We build out their vision. We create what I call a movie script for their life. And I teach people to write about this, movie script or that vision 3 years into the future as if they've already accomplished their big goals and dreams. And now you know exactly where you want to get to. It's like going to Disney.
Real quick, before you move on, what does that sound like? I know what you're talking about, but what does that script sound like for those who have never done an exercise like that?
Okay, very, very good question. And so I will basically, I don't have my book in front of you, but I'll read what mine is from that I wrote. It's, I think it's chapter 23 or 24 in my book, and it's the Ballantine Family Vision for 2020. And you write it as if you're celebrating a big event. So we were celebrating Father's Day in the book in 2020, and it was, we had all of our friends and family there. And I talk about the exact house that we are living in. It's 35 Sir Adam Beck Drive in Stratford, Ontario, Canada. It's about a couple blocks from where I live right now. I love this house because there's a family in it right now that I want my family to resemble in a few years, with a couple of kids and a dog and a pool in the backyard and a great relationship between the parents. And it's just a regular house otherwise, but it's just really, it's that family that lives in it that I want to replicate. And so all my friends are there, my family's there, people have come from a long way, we're celebrating Father's Day, and we've just accomplished big breakthroughs in my business. And I talk about how many books I've sold, 500,000 copies of my book and my kits, my Perfect Day Formula kits, and we've grown our Perfect Day Formula business and Early to Rise business, to $15 million in revenue, and we have this many employees, and we do this many events every year, and we have 1,000 certified turbulence trainers, and we're celebrating all of those things, and we're also celebrating the birth of my, baby daughter and named Sophia. So I even have like the names of the kids, and I know what cars are in the driveway and in the garage. And I know exactly, we're out in the backyard barbecuing, and Bedros, one of my best friends, Bedros Koulian, he's manning the grill because he used to be a fry cook at Disney World. And, nice. We're just going and going and going. You can see how this is a movie script for your life. It's a very, very clear and concise vision. And you can think about the food that's out and the people that are there. And I got Joel Marion's drinking a Bud Light because he always has a Bud Light in his hand every time I hang out with him, And so I make sure I got like two cases for him because he's there all day. And, you're just clearly defining what your future is going to look like, as if you were truly watching a movie of you 3 years in the future, and you've accomplished the things that you want to accomplish. You've accomplished your big goals and dreams. It's not like you're almost there. It's not like those are your goals, but no, you have done it. You have built the business. You have won the games. You have, you know, found the girl. You have done it all. It's like the end of a great movie, and you've gone through it and you finished it. And so that's what it is. And there's a whole bunch of questions I ask in the book. There's 21 questions in the book, actually, that I ask people in helping them build these visions for their lives, because I love doing it. It's my favorite part of the book. It's my favorite of the work tools that we have in there, because it is so important. It's like, I like to use the analogy that, listen, if you want to go to Disney World, that's your destination. Just like your movie script of your life is your destination. And if you know exactly where you want to get to, then all you have to do is just punch it in on the GPS and you know the exact route to get there. You know, you take this highway, take this road after that, and then you're there. That's it. So you have the exact step-by-step blueprint to success, because success is pretty simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. If you want to climb Mount Everest, it's been done before. You're going to be told exactly how to do it. It's not easy to do, but here's exactly how to do it. If you want to win the CrossFit Games, you just go get Mike's program, because it's not going to be easy, but it's simple. Follow the step-by-step instructions. And so it's the same with anything in life. And when you have that vision and destination for your life, you know exactly what to do to get there. And you can stop going off on detours and down the wrong path that take you away from your vision, that take you away from your personal Disney World. You just want to stay focused on achieving your movie script for your life.
And I think, you know, one thing, if you don't immediately, if you do an exercise like this and you constantly are reminding yourself of, you know, where you want to be, where you see yourself, if it's not immediately apparent, the fact is you're going to be taking more effective action, and you're going to be doing the kinds of things that successful people do. And you're going to be working towards that goal, whether you know it or not. That's why these types of exercises are so effective. It's not because you just think it and some kind of magic happens you know, it just appears, but you act differently when you think this way. Would you agree with that, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. And so here's another analogy for it, Mike. So, you know, a lot of guys will relate to this. So a lot of guys probably have a fiance or a serious girlfriend, and you know, they're thinking right now, okay, I found the girl, I found the one, and I don't want to screw this up. And so, you know, the future with her is your movie script of your life. You know, you got the house, you got the kids, you know, you got a great life with this woman. And so, you know, the path to get there, you know, keep on doing the right things, you know, grow at work, you know, stick to your health and, you know, have a good relationship with her. Now, one of your buddies from college comes along and says, hey, we're going to a bachelor party in Vegas. And you know, we're going with Joey, and we're going with the other guy, and we're going with the other guy. It's going to be just like the Hangover. And so if your goal in life is to have this dream life, and some guy comes along and says, hey, I want you to take this detour, you know pretty darn well that if you take that detour, you could blow up everything in your future. Now, there's a time and place to go on these trips when you're younger and when you're not that close to your dream life. But when you're really close to it, that's when you say, no, I have this vision for my life. And, you know, one weekend in Vegas that could ruin my entire future of the next 70 years is not worth it. And I know that's a hard thing to say no to. But it's all about the same way that we look at training, right? We're in for discipline. We're in for discipline now for long-term greatness. Like Muhammad Ali said, suffer today so you can be a champion for the rest of your life. That's what you guys do in CrossFit. And that's what you need to do in your personal life as well. Yeah, you're going to suffer. You're going to miss out on the time. That's going to be an amazing trip. And people are going to be posting it on Facebook. And yeah, you have to overcome that. But would you throw away that girl, the kids, the family life, the next 70 years of your life for another trip to Vegas? You know, and if you're in that situation, you should say, no way in heck am I going to do that. I'm going to stay focused. So that is another analogy that I hope a lot of guys will get.
Yeah. As soon as you said Joey was in, I was out, man.
That's great, man. Oh man. We've all been to Vegas and we all know what can happen. We've seen the movies and it's not worth it, you know. And I know a lot of people who ruin married lives because they go down some path where it's clearly not worth it. I mean, come on. I mean, right. you can sacrifice, you just wait till you get home sort of thing. So, so that's what it's all about. That's really what I want to instill in people today. And I hope that people take that very seriously. It's one of my friends, Dave Kekich, has this saying, life is easy when you live it the hard way. It's hard when you live it the easy way.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you don't want drama in your life, yeah. You know, just live, you know, training is, you know, competition is easy when you train the hard way. You should train so that competition becomes easy and you should live the same way. So I hope that does help some guys.
Oh, that is all great advice, man. How does a business find and define their purpose? You know, do they do a similar exercise to this, or is there a different process that they can go through?
Yeah, well, this is actually a business process in the first place, and I put more of a personal life aspect into it. So I read it first in Inc. magazine back in about 2010, and then there's a friend of mine and a friend of Addie's who's in the same mastermind group that we're in, a guy named Cameron Harold, and he ran 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and he also worked, I believe, in the college pro painting system, and he has a book called Double Double, and it talks about creating the vision for your business. And so it's the same thing, you know, what do you want your business to be known for? How many people do you want to help? You know, who do you want to employ? What mission are you after? All that sort of stuff. And you can clearly and concisely define your vision. And so here's a great example of how powerful this is. So in 2006, I hired my first business coach. His name is Tom Venuto. Guys might recognize him as the author of Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. I mean, he's been around on the internet and more successful than me. So he started back in the 90s. And Tom is a great guy. And so on the very first coaching call, the very first question he asked me was, Craig, what do you want your business to look like in 5 years from now? And in 2006, I was just running Turbulence Training. I was just running the fitness business. And I said to Tom, you know the website Early to Rise. It's really great. It helps people build their health, their wealth, makes them wiser people, and it helps them build the relationships as well. And he said, yeah, I know that site. And I said, I want to have a business like that in 5 years. And that was 2006. And so that was the end of the conversation about that. But Tom and I went and continued to, you know, he helped me build my business, had a big product launch, and then I went and joined mastermind groups. And then I went and became a coach myself. And I started becoming a better speaker and a better writer and all of these things. And then in 2011, one of my friends who became my business partner was at a meeting with the owner of Early to Rise. And the only owner of Early to Rise said to my friend, Matt, I'm ready to sell the business. And so Matt emailed me. And the next thing you know, we were down in Florida negotiating a deal for this business. And it was 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days after I told my first coach that I wanted to have a business like Early to Rise. Wow. That I bought the business of my dreams, not a business like Early to Rise, but the actual business.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I was 3 months to 17 days late. So don't hold it against me. But, you know, I was always one of those like skeptics of the law of attraction. And I still don't believe you can sit in a chair and attract things into your life. But I change it to, in the book, I mentioned the law of action attraction. And so when you know exactly what you want, then you know exactly what you need to do to get there. And so if you take those action steps, you can accomplish that and get exactly what you want in life. And that's the power of that movie script that I help people create. That's why I'm so you know, rah-rah about it, because I think it's so important. And guys can do this for their training. I mean, it's just like, you know, you hear about athletes all the time, visualization, visualization, visualization. That's what this is.
Right.
This is very clear and concise visualization. Not just for training, not just for business, but for your entire holistic life. And that's what it's all about. And that's how you can get exactly what you want.
That is a great story. I love it, man. Adi and I were talking about this recently. You know, we notice in the, I don't know, entrepreneurs in general have a ton of drive, a ton of motivation, very high performers. They've got all of that stuff dialed in. But what I've noticed is a lot of them don't have all of that much tranquility or inner peace. And so I'm wondering, how important are those two things to you? And how do you ensure you keep them while you're still, you know, pushing hard to grow your businesses and to grow as a human being?
Well, it's a great question. And it goes back to 2006 when I started my journey towards the Perfect Day Formula. So I had anxiety attacks. It was right around the time I hired my business coach, Tom. So it's funny, I'd be on these calls with Tom and I'd be thinking to myself, don't freak out, don't freak out, don't freak out. Because I thought I thought that I would have to, like, you know, give up the call in the middle of it and then run outside and get fresh air. And these anxiety attacks actually sent me to the emergency room twice, thinking I was having a heart attack. And, you know, here I was, 30 years old. I had too much freedom in my life because I was running this online business and working all day and then partying all night and training in the morning. And, you know, it was just, it was a recipe for disaster. And so then I started figuring out I need more structure in my life. And then I started reading Stoic philosophy. So Ryan Holiday, a man who's down in Austin, close to you, you know, he is making Stoic philosophy fashionable again with, you know, his books. And it really is valuable. And what it has helped me do is stop comparing myself to others. When I read this little book, The Art of Living, which is a translation of Epictetus's Most Important Lessons, it's a really simple book. I mean, it's written for the layperson. You read one page a day, just like a horoscope, and it just always speaks to you. And when I read that, the weight of the world was taken off my shoulders because of this 3C formula that I then talk about in my book, which is control what you can, cope with what you can't, and concentrate on what counts. So you can apply that to any area of life, but we can apply that to, let's say you want to be, you know, number one at CrossFit. What do you control? You control only your training. You control only your nutrition, only your recovery, and only your mindset. You don't control what events they choose. You don't control what your competitor's doing. You only control yourself. And so you focus all your energy on that and you forget about the rest, and it reduces stress and increases focus. So control what you can. Cope with what you can't control. You know, if people are saying negative things about you, if you're trying a new program and people are saying, oh, that's not going to work, ignore them. You know, disassociate yourself from that world. Don't go on your competitor's Facebook page and see how they're doing, because that might stress you out. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't worry about other stuff. If it's raining outside, you can't control it. If your boss is a jerk, you can't control it. If you're stuck in traffic, you can't control it. All you control are your thoughts, words, and deeds, how you respond to situations. And then you concentrate on what counts. You concentrate on your training, on your results, on giving your best efforts. In the bigger picture, in the real world, you concentrate on the relationships and that you have, the experiences that you're going to have, the memories that you're going to make. That's really what matters. And so when I applied that 3C formula to the perfect day, it's control the morning, because that's what you control the most. Cope with the chaos of the world in the afternoon by planning ahead for all the emergencies that could come up. And if you do that, you'll get out of the afternoon unscathed. And then concentrate on what counts at night, which is work really hard and focused and structured during the day so that you have time for family and training and relationships and movies and whatever else you want to at night. That's true freedom. More structure equals freedom. Just like Jocko Willink, who I'm sure you all know. I mean, his discipline equals freedom, I think. And it's the same thing. Discipline and structure equal freedom. It's a paradox, but it is so, so true. Because I know what happens when you have too much freedom. I had the paradox of freedom. I had all the time in the world, and I made bad choices. It wasn't until I put structure into place that I was able to get more done and have more success and actually have a healthier life. And we see this with rock stars and movie stars all the time, like Johnny Depp. You know, Johnny Depp is burning through $2 million a month, as you read about in the papers these days, because there's nobody there saying, no, Johnny, you can't spend money on this. You can't spend money on that. He spent $1 million or more to shoot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes into space. You can't do that, you know? And Mike Tyson also, he blew through $300 million because he had too much freedom. God. No one was there to say, no, Mike, you can't buy the tiger, Mike. You can't buy another house, Mike. You can't do this, Mike. You can't buy the chains, Mike. And $300 million is gone. If he would have had structure, if he would have had some no men around him, he'd be in a much better place. So that's what it's all about. Structure equals true freedom.
Amen, brother. So if this is if these are new concepts, especially the concept of figuring out what you're in control of, what's outside of your control, and what is in a little bit of both. If that's a new concept for people, and they identify the things that are outside of their control, they identify the things that are inside of their control, but they find themselves just getting caught up in, you know, kind of negative loops of thought, right? They know they shouldn't. They know that, you know, what they're thinking about is outside of their control. What advice do you have to help them get out of that kind of negative thinking?
So what they need to do is, first of all, identify what triggers this. what triggers this? It's just like an alcoholic needs to identify what triggers the want to go and drink, or someone who, you know, is obsessively checking email. What triggers that? Is it boredom? Is it stress? Is it, what is it? And so when you identify that, then you can start to build in what I like to say, you build a fence around yourself to protect yourself from these distractions. And so it might be that, you know, you're just looking for something to do, you know, because you've worked for 3 hours in a row and you're like, oh man, I just need a break. Mm-hmm. Well, take a break a different way, you know, go outside, walk around in the fresh air, get out on the foam roller, but do something that doesn't allow you to go and, you know, get in these negative feedback loops. For other people that, you know, have trouble with struggling with going online, you can set up your computer using something like Internet Freedom that blocks you from going online. Mm-hmm. And you really just need to put in these fences that just block you off, these boundaries. And so whatever it is, block yourself off. And then if you find yourself in there, you need another trigger that gets you out of it. So if you find yourself in a negative loop, a negative feedback loop, and you're criticizing yourself or you're thinking bad thoughts, call somebody, text somebody, do something positive. Here's something that is very embarrassing for me to even admit, Mike, but I used to suffer, and I still kind of do, I suffer a lot from envy of other people. And I would see a friend doing something on with his internet business and he's making so much money. And I was like, oh man, well, you know, I've been around longer than him. You know, I should, you know, because I'm this old man of the internet, I should be making, you know, that much money too. And then I realized, you know what, this is serving nobody for no purpose. There's no value to me. There's it, you know, what does it matter if someone goes and makes a ton of money? It doesn't matter because it doesn't change my life at all. And so what I realized then is that I needed to flip the switch. And so what I did was I started writing thank you cards to people who I was envious of. And it made me feel better because I'd be writing something like, hey, brother, you know, awesome to see your results. Thank you for being a leader. You know, thanks for all the good times that we've had. And by the end of it, I was like, oh, this is so much better. I'm, you know, because now I'm happy for him being successful. I mean, would I really want to see the guy not successful? Would I want him, like, you know, have a bad employee that steals all his money? What, how would that serve me? How would that make me any better? Right. It would just make me feel like a bad person. And then when I would put this little thank you card in the mail, and I still do this, I send a thank you card in the mail to somebody every single day, and it puts a smile on my face and reminds me, like, the little things in life that matter the most. And so in a negative feedback loop, first, protect yourself from getting into it in the first place. And second, find a way out of it as quickly as possible, whatever you have to do. And I know that there's ways that you can do it. So hopefully that helps.
Absolutely. It's funny that you brought that example up, because I was about to share just about the same thing. The only thing that I would add is, guys, if you're, you know, if these are new concepts to you, you just have to persist. You're thinking, you've been thinking a certain way for, you know, X number of years. It's not going to change instantly. You're not going to just decide, I want to focus on what I'm in control of and block out all the rest. You may have a couple good days and then slip up, and you just have to persist and keep bringing it back to, keep bringing it back to this concept of focusing on what you're in control of. And before you know it, it's going to be an ingrained habit. And like we started off talking about, you're going to have more tranquility and inner peace in your life.
Yeah. And I think our listeners should always just use the training analogy. You know, when you went to the gym and you learned how to snatch the first time, I mean, it was probably ugly, ugly, ugly snatch. Okay. But what did you do? Did you quit? No, of course not. You went back, you got feedback from somebody, you got accountability, and you went and improved, and you got more feedback, and you get in that feedback loop. So if you're finding yourself in a negative thing, then you get an accountability buddy, you maybe read some books on it, you keep on learning, and you implement the new things, you try that out, you get feedback on that, and you continue on. And you know, it's just like, no one will ever have the perfect snatch except for a few gold medal winners in the Olympics. You'll just never have that perfect, you know, ability to block out all negativity. I mean, you'll get good, you'll get really good at it, but you'll never be perfect. And so, like Mike said, there'll be days where you might slip back a little bit, and don't be hard on yourself. Just focus on what matters of getting better every day, constant and never ending improvement.
What are 2 to 3 tactical things that you do as a leader on a daily or weekly basis that you think most contributes to the success of your companies?
Okay, so one thing that I do that is really, really powerful and important is I write a weekly team email. And so in this weekly team email, it goes out to all of our team members, and it talks about, you know, how we're doing as a company, our revenue, you know, we do total transparency in our numbers, and then we share, you know, what we're doing next. And then we highlight the success stories of our clients and our customers. And then we talk about, you know, how we're growing our big reach with our ETR company. And then we highlight an employee in the next section. And then we talk about one of our core values in the final section. And actually, there's one more area where I open it up to feedback from our team. I say, you know, here's this week's question. How can you help? You know, what's your advice on doing this, this, or this? And we just get, you know, this goes out every Wednesday. I've written 250 editions of this since I bought the business. Mm-hmm. And you can also do a video version, which is some of what my younger coaching clients do. They do a video version for their team, and it just keeps everybody on track and everybody knows what's going on, because no one likes that black box. They don't like that feeling of the unknown. Like, what's the boss thinking today? Is he going to fire somebody? Are things going well? I don't even know. And that causes so much frustration and angst in team members. So it's the same with, you know, if you went to a workout and you didn't know what exercise was coming next, you'd be thinking, oh, I don't know what's coming next. You'd have that anxiety. And so it's the same with the employees. They just like a child, they want to know, hey, what's going on with mom and dad? What's really going on here? And the better communication you have, the better that you'll build the culture in your business. And so that's really powerful. That's one of the most important things we do. We also do a weekly alignment meeting more on the actual tasks that they are working on. Mm-hmm. And then we do a daily sales meeting called War Room, which talks about, okay, yeah, here we're sales.
Yes, on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do that War Room, which is really, really powerful part of increasing sales, because it's like it's like software, you know, a constant reiteration. And, you know, like, here, we're going to test this today and come back tomorrow and test something else. And by constant testing, you get better and better. So those are some of the things that are helping to build our business.
Awesome, man. I absolutely love the first one, the weekly check-in. That's awesome.
Cool.
So you're all about self-improvement, productivity, growth, et cetera. Where does fun fit into all of this? And how important is it to be doing exciting things?
Well, you know, I'm one of those people who loves what they do. And so most of what I do is fun to me. And I've gotten rid of a lot of the things that are no longer fun in my life. And I do a lot of traveling. I love to travel the world. I go to about 3 or 4 new countries every year. And when I do, I combine that with teaching. So usually every year, this will be our 8th year, we're doing an entrepreneurship camp in Lithuania. And so again, this will be my 8th year of doing it with a friend of mine. And so then I track on, you know, a country before the camp and a country after the camp. Last year, I went to the Olympics with my friend Joel, and so we had a big trip there, and I travel a lot for work. And so I'm always, you know, that's one of the things I love to do. And then, you know, I do the little things like watching, you know, some movies. I love the Marvel movies. And then, you know, I play with my dog a lot. And so it's really simple stuff. But there's this one quote. I rambled on so I could find this quote. I love this quote, and it's improperly attributed to a Zen saying, but it's not. I don't know who said it, but it says this: the master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation, his love and religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence in whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. I love that. Make no apologies for how you live your life if you live according to that code.
Wow. Love it, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, let's wrap it up. I have one more little thought exercise for you.
Okay.
Just complete the following sentence. If you really knew me, you'd know that. And just to show you what I mean. So for me, I have a very, like, people that really know me know that I have a very offensive sense of humor, and I'll never let that out. on, you know, in public, because it's really, it's offensive, and I would never use it in a malicious way, but that's just, you know, I just find it funny. And so I tried inserting some of that in early podcasts, and it just felt, it didn't feel right. So I took that out.
Yeah. Well, I would say something very, very similar is that I'm actually a lot more, I'm a lot funnier and more playful, once you get to know me and hang out with me and spend some time with me. But, you know, most of the interviews I do are all about this structure and formulaic stuff. And so, I mean, I just am a kid at heart.
Awesome. I wish I could.
I wish I could, you know, I'm one of those people who does have regrets, and I wish I could go back and treat some people a little bit better, specifically some girls who treated me better than I treated them.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much, dude. Do you have any other, you have any wishes or ask of our audience before we get, take off?
No, I don't, but I would like to say one thing. I always like to end it, my shows on this, that the most important things in your life are the people that you meet and love over the course of your life and the experiences you have with them. So when you look at all this structure, remember what you're doing it for, the people and experiences. And so if guys are interested, you know, check out my book. You can get a copy, just pay shipping and handling by go to freeperfectdaybook.com. freeperfectdaybook.com. Just pay shipping and handling, and you know, we'll ship you a copy of the book, and I'm really proud of it. It's my life's work, and I know it'll help you.
Don't pass that opportunity up, guys. It will change your life. Where can they find out more about you, keep up with you on social media, all that stuff?
Well, I just started Instagram, so I'm very proud of that. So nice. Instagram.com/realcraigballantyne. And then Twitter, I'm pretty responsive at twitter.com/craigballantyne. And then please check out our articles. As Mike said, we have a ton of content at earlytorise.com.
And that's, guys, that's Craig, BALLANTYNE, Ballantyne. Craig, thank you so much for giving up so much of your time today, brother. I really appreciate this, man.
You know, it was a lot of fun. I do a lot of business interviews, and this one, combination of training, business, personal life, it was one of the best I've done. So thank you, Mike.
Awesome, bro. Take care.